This on audio, so I'll make an audio because it's going on my website. So David Crowder's a deconstructionist. Do you know what that is?
No.
Deconstructionist is like when you're a Baptist and you say, I'm going to go challenge all the Baptist faith and I'm going to kind of go do my own thing. Now, it's good to test everything. They should come out of the Baptist faith. But what happens with deconstructionism, instead of testing for all truth, taking what's truth and then going on and doing all truth, what they do is they usually throw everything away.
Jesus is the truth, right?
What's that?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus is the truth. Okay. Yeah, his word and the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. But what happens to these deconstructionists, they end up throwing away the truth. And so David Crowder left the Baptist faith, which he should have, but he should have kept what truth the Baptists did have. They did have some truth. And he ended up in contemplative.
Test everything, hold on to the truth.
Yeah, exactly. He ended up into Roman Catholic mysticism. He's linked to Roman Catholicism via contemplative prayer, and it's something called Lecto Divina. Look it up. And that's what he's linked to. He's very much a Christian mystic type of guy. And he's a multimillionaire worth $7 to $8 million, the internet says, selling the music of God. It looked like something Jesus would do to you. How about Paul? Would they be on stage?
I don't think he's proclaiming to be Jesus.
We're supposed to be like Jesus. We're supposed to be like Paul.
We're all supposed to be perfect according to what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount.
And what does that word perfect mean?
Complete.
Yeah. And so when you're complete, you don't live in sin and keep practicing it on and on.
But
I don't know
that any of us has ever attained that. Jesus.
Paul said he didn't attain, but guess what he did? He kept striving to attain it. And how do you attain it? You don't keep living in sin. You don't keep doing sin. Willful sin is going to damn your soul. Hebrews 10:26. I've been telling people all day. Everybody here is full of hyper grace. Oh, I just believe that Jesus is going to cover my sin no matter how I live, no matter what, even if I keep sin and practice it. That's not true. That's hyper grace. The grace of God calls you. The goodness of a God calls you to repentance. You receive the grace of God when you're willing to see your sin, your false ways, and turn from it. And the grace of God kicks in to cover you, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But Hebrews 10:26 says there's no sacrifice for those who keep willful sin.
Do you think God or Jesus' first call to anyone is for repentance? Do you think that's the first call that he
No.
Had? Okay, because I didn't think so either.
No, the first call is believe on the Savior and what he's done by faith. How can you repent if you don't have faith in something?
I mean,
what do you repent to?
God loved us before we loved him.
Right, so I mean, what do you repent to if you don't have faith in it?
So,
how can I repent to Jesus if I don't even believe Jesus? So by faith in his shed blood, you come to repentance. And when you repent, you turn from false churchianity like this, and you turn from every false way, and you come out of the world system, sports, politics, entertainment, and you begin to become a new creation. God will give you his spirit if you're willing to obey. And the fruit, I've been telling people, they said, don't judge. We're supposed to judge each other's fruit. And how do you judge a person's fruit? How do they live if they claim to be a Christian? I don't judge the world. Paul says we don't judge the world, but we do judge the body. 1 Corinthians 5, Matthew 18, 2 Thess 3. And you and everybody else here is claiming to be, or a lot of them, are claiming to be of the body of Christ. So they get judged to the standard of God, and they fall far, far short because they're out of the doctrines of God. This is not the doctrines of God here. This is a man-made show.
I'm not going to pretend that I have it all figured out, because I certainly don't. I have more questions than I have answers. It's encouraging to me to see people like yourself who have enough confidence in your thoughts and beliefs to...
Well, it's not my thoughts. That's why I have it, right?
Well, except that...
Proverbs 28:1 says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. I know what righteousness is, so I can be bold about it. It's not my thoughts. It's God's word. I'm ready to die for God's word.
So moments ago, you referred to the whole Bible as being...
Genesis to Revelation.
...as being Jesus' word, and that's not correct.
That is correct.
That is not correct.
That is correct.
Even Paul says when he speaks that it's not of God, it's not God's word.
Paul didn't say when he speaks he's not of God. He said several times, I speak not the Lord here.
Exactly.
But who was speaking in Genesis?
Well,
where's Jesus? Is he the creator?
I would like to think so.
According to John 1? So
right.
who killed animals and shed blood and put man in a tunic-like garment in Genesis 3? Jesus. He's the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the whole word of God is from Christ.
And
if you don't believe that, you're like way far out in heresy land.
And yet, take, for example, the book of Job. And so this is what I talk about, intellectual structures, or intellectual...
Are you going into that higher thought, critical learning, all this stuff where you're so smart you don't even know what God's word says?
Well,
that's a terrible place
to
be. That's a terrible place to be.
You know that Job received counsel from his friends, and much of it sounded very godly, but at the end of Job, they were rebuked by God as not being the correct counsel. And so all of those words were not apparently God's words.
God allows all kinds of things. I mean, look, he allowed harlotry and adultery and murder. That doesn't mean it's not ordained by God. Guess who the Bible's for?
It does mean that every word in there was not
Who the Bible's for? You think God needed the Bible?
I don't think God needs you. I don't think God needs me.
Guess who the Bible's
God
for?
Needs anybody.
It's for us. So every example, every word in there is an example for us. Like in Acts 5, when God killed Ananias and Sapphira, in Acts 5, after the grace of God had come, he kills them and they go to hell because they didn't repent of their sin. And nobody, the hyper-grace people don't want to believe that.
Does the Bible communicate that they went to hell? I don't recall that.
You think God kills people and they go to heaven?
Yes, I do think
you do?
That's a possibility.
Really? So how about...
Who killed Jesus?
How about... Hold on.
Who killed Jesus?
Well, he was God himself. That's a totally different thing.
And was God in charge?
Of course he is. God's always in charge. But hold on. Hebrews, going back to Hebrews 10:26.
You ask me if God kills somebody that goes to heaven, and that's my answer.
Hebrews...
God set that example with Jesus.
Yes, of course Jesus was the Father. But that doesn't mean that when he judges a man the same way. In Hebrews 10:26, it tells you there is no sacrifice for willful sin. The next verse says... fiery judgment that's going to consume the adversaries of God. How about this one? In Acts 8, Simon the sorcerer, he was a believer. He said, I want to buy the Holy Spirit. He's a believer. He wants to buy the Holy Spirit. Peter says to him, you know, Simon, you're a believer. I think you're in sin, but don't worry about it. You're going to go to heaven no matter what. It's okay. And Peter doesn't say that. Peter rebukes him. He said, you're in the gall of sin. And he said, pray that God gives you repentance to come out of it. And Simon's like, please pray that happens. He was fearful of losing his soul over one sin. And Revelation 22:14-15 says, dogs, sorcerers, murderers, whoremongers, adulterers, and all who love and maketh a lie, one lie, will put outside of the kingdom of God. 21 says it, and Revelation 22 says it. So the whole fact of the gospel is that you've got to repent and obey Christ. This is not obeying Christ. This is a man-made tradition. Mark 7 says, read it, you worship God in vain, teaching your man-made traditions.
Can I say that I appreciate what I've seen from you this year and that you have had so much dialogue with people?
We had a lot of dialogue last year.
And even with me. Last year, you wouldn't engage with me for some reason, and I thought this year it was going to happen.
We had all kinds of seekers that we dialogued with last year, and that's a lady came out, and she was telling me, you got to have friendship evangelism, and I said, that's a lie. And I said, you know what happens? Same sign, same preacher, same message, same truth. You're lying 5,000 people up here, and 4,999 of them will hate it and ignore it. And the one mocker, the one will come and say, like we've talked to a bunch of seekers today, and they'll say, I think what you're saying is true. I see a lot of sin here. I see a lot of worldliness in my church. I see worldliness in my life. And so the seeker, that's the parable of the talent. The parable of the talent is your lives fertile soil, rocky soil, or are you growing up with a bunch of weeds that are going to choke you out? The church system will choke you out from the truth of God because they have some truth and they have a lot of lies.
So the difference between where you and I stand is that I see that there is a lot of...
Right.